praise the Lord for His presence with us, His faithfulness. This is Communion Sunday, so as we finish off our service this morning, we will be having communion together while the offering was being taken or just after the plates went by. Our ushers distributed something to you, a little card that is a response card. At the end of the service, during the communion, we're going to have a time of prayer challenging you to trust the Lord in your life for some need, as the Lord is our helper. I've given you this because I'll be going on a three-day prayer assignment. We used to call those prayer retreats, but people get the idea you're going away for a vacation. It's a prayer assignment in which for 3 days we just saturate our hearts with the Lord and His presence. And as I go, traditionally I've said to you, I would like to take your prayer requests with me. Now, here's the way it works. This is not a prayer request for other people. It's a personal prayer request that you share with your pastor. It's some burden on your heart, some situation in your life that you share with me so I can go to the throne of God with you, together with you, and seek the Lord. Please don't put down here, pray for my Aunt Susie's, and I have to be careful about saying bunion, because somebody here had a bunion surgery and said, don't say that anymore. Aunt Susie's knees that ache, or any other thing. There are worthy things to pray about, but that's not the point. The point is I want to pray for you. I want to bear the burdens that you have before the throne of God together. So I encourage you to write on the back of this card and then turn it in at the end of the service, either to me personally up here or give it to any one of the ushers or one of the pastors, or drop it in the offering or drop it in the office. If you don't get a chance to fill this out, I will be leaving at 3 o'clock today. You can send me an email up to just before 3 o'clock, and I'll get that and take it with me. I won't have access to email during my 3 days, so once I'm out, I won't get your prayer request. So do that. I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you all week with some special burdens from the Lord. So I encourage you to do that. There is a concert of prayer here in the sanctuary tonight at 6:30. And so we encourage you to come to that. During our communion service, when we service and have the bread, we're going to invite people to come and be prayed for. That is not anointing for healing. That will take place tonight with our elders at the service. But this morning we want to just be able to pray with people, and I'll explain that in a few moments as we get into the message. We have been looking at the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. As we enter into the Christmas season, it's very important that we focus on the names of the Lord and His exalted position with us. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. That is the name of the Lord, this multifaceted name, not just the name of Jesus, but all the titles and all the characteristics that go along with it are given to us that we might appropriate who He is to us. And I've encouraged you through the years, and I encourage you this year, to get the list of 640 names of Christ. It's on our website. If you don't have web access, stop in the office, and they can print you off a copy and get it to you. But go over that list and pray and ask the Lord to lead you to a name that He is designating as what He wants you to carry with you all through the year. I've already chosen mine, as I've said, and already this year it's becoming a blessing. For 2010, the name of the Lord that God has given me personally is The Lord Is My Song. And it is a rich, rich name, and I delight in it every day. So we are encouraged to focus on the names of the Lord. We are finishing up our series on Hebrews. We began with seven names of Christ, the exalted names in Hebrews chapter 1. We are ending that series with seven excellent names of the Lord. I've given you that list, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The captain of our soul, the anchor of our soul, the helper in times of trouble, the author and finisher of our faith, the great shepherd, and the great high priest. All of these things are in the book of Hebrews, and they're given to you and to me so that we can know the Lord in a deep personal relationship. All of this is very important, so apply it to your hearts. This morning, we are looking at a particular name of the Lord that is significant, and that is the Lord is my helper. The Lord Jesus Christ is my helper. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, and I want you to have your Bible open, and I want you to mark it. As God speaks to you, do mark your Bible indicating, however you do it, some people mark it in yellow, some people put a square around the verse, some people write in the margin, some just underline. But however you do it, mark it as the Lord leads you to do that. I want you to be seeing the Word, not the sermon. The sermon is only a tool to get you to the Word and help you to understand it. I'm going to read this passage from the New International Version because I think it's clear and helps us to understand it. I'm going to begin with verse 5, which is not on the overhead, just to give you some more context here. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, pause here for a moment. He said, we say with confidence, not just he says or a few people. He's talking about everyone who is born again, is part of the family of God. We have the right to say this name. We have the right to declare his name. Here it is. We have this confidence. We say it with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I want you to say that name. The Lord is my helper. Would you say that out loud? I love it when you do that. The first time is always kind of dead. You just go, the Lord is my helper. It is an emphatic statement. The Lord is my helper. I want you to say it again, this time with the emphasis on the Lord. The Lord is my helper. Now I want you to say it this time with the emphasis on the word my. The Lord is my helper. And then finally, I want you to do it with the emphasis on helper, helper. The Lord is my helper. Now, I want you to turn to the camera and look at the camera because we've got a congregation downstairs. Feels a little bit separate from us. I've been down there greeting them. I want you to look at them and say, the Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
Okay, don't single out anybody specific in this congregation. They'll feel like you're looking at their dirty sweater or something else. All right. I want you to know, the Lord is my helper. That's very personal. It's not general. It's not a title. It's a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to me as his child. The Lord is my helper. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, this morning as we open your word together with a simple passage, the Lord is my helper. Would you help us this morning to understand your word? Lord, would you reveal to our hearts and our minds and deepen our souls the mightiness of this truth? That everyone here who is saved and born again and knows Jesus Christ as their Savior will be able to leave this place with the confidence to know that the Lord is my helper, their helper, in their time of need. We pray for your anointing, Lord. This is not the same as the first service. This is a different group of people, different needs, and you want to say something similar but perhaps differently. We ask you to do that. Anoint our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at this verse for a moment. Here I've given it to you in the New King James Version. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. That is the key here. The word helper is an unusual word in the New Testament. It's only used once. It's used in this passage and no other passage. No other scripture gives Jesus this title as the helper except Hebrews 13:6. Write that in your margin. It is significant when God uses it once and says, I want you to see that my son, Jesus Christ, is your helper. Write it down. The word helper here is a noun. It is used as a verb in one other place, and that's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. He reiterates that or hints at it in that passage where he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That word is the same. Here it's a verb. In 13:6, it is a noun. It is a significant word. The Greek word for helper is the word biothos, which doesn't mean a thing to you, does it? But it's a compound word. The bio, not bio. Boy, that sounds weird. It means cry or to cry out. And the last half of that means to run toward. And the idea behind it is that we cry out and the Lord runs toward us. When we have a need, we cry out to the Lord and He is our helper. He comes to our side and He rescues us. The word run here is not the same word as run in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, where He says, run with patience the race that has been set before you. That's the traditional run. This one is more about running toward and assisting, a standing by you, of rescuing you in your time of need. That is significant. As with all words, we need to be careful that we don't interpret the Scriptures by our own understanding. Here's a question. What do you think of when you hear the word helper? What do you think of when you think of a helper? Somebody downstairs in the first service yelled out, hamburger helper. Well, I can assure you that Jesus' name was not to be aligned with hamburger helper. When I think of helper in our culture, I think of somebody that helps you with something, somebody that's equal to you or somebody that's perhaps even inferior to you that needs to come alongside and help you with something. Perhaps you're hanging a picture and you can't do it all by yourself. You got to hold the picture and put the wire in place and hammer the nail. So you have somebody else hold it. They assist you in that and you hammer the nail, put it in place. They are your helper. That is not the sense in which Jesus Christ is our helper. He is not the one that comes to our aid and assists us in what we're doing. The idea that we have in our culture of helper is an assistant. My son has a busy job, many, many hours, and his wife works many, many hours. And so they have a nanny that comes in as a helper and assists them. That nanny is not the mother, but she serves to assist them in doing the task of raising children. When we speak of the Lord, He is much, much more than an assistant. He is not our assistant. We sometimes interpret Scripture based on things that we hear in our culture. Ben Franklin was not a man of God. Did you hear that? It's clear by his own testimony he was not a man of God. He loved to hear George Whitefield preach and said so, but he said, I never responded to his message. I didn't agree with it. But he had many Franklinisms, many, many phrases and sayings that have become part of our culture. And here's one. God helps those who help themselves. Throughout my ministry, I've had people come to me and say, doesn't the Scripture say God helps those that help themselves? I'll tell you, that bugs me. I want to slap them up the side of the head and give a wake-up call. Lovingly, of course. No, that's not in the Bible. That is a Franklin statement. That is a quote from Benjamin Franklin. He was an agnostic or perhaps a theist. He believed God existed, but he didn't believe God interfered in the plans and the work of men. And so when he states God helps those who help themselves, he is saying you help yourself because God may not come to help you. His basic idea was you're on this earth alone and you're your best helper, so do the best you can. And if there's a God out there, maybe He'll come along to assist you, but don't count on it. That philosophy has leaked into our churches and our mindset about the Lord being our helper. God does not say about Jesus Christ that God helps those who help themselves. Jesus Christ helps those who help themselves. He says, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man will do to me because the Lord is my helper. I want to give you a picture of this idea of helping. It was painted back in 1881. It's called The Helping Hand by Emil Renoff. And this painter has depicted a mariner, grandfatherly type, in this little boat, rowing out with a granddaughter sitting beside him. The granddaughter is very frail, very weak, very, very feminine. in this rustic setting, and the grandfather's looking at her, kind of smiling, smoking his pipe, like you're going to help me. And I think that's significant, because that's about as much as we can do to help ourselves. Putting our hand on the oar and trying to row the boat when God says, I am the helper. I am the one doing this for you. There's another picture, and our disciples, the disciples of Jesus, had this issue with the Lord himself. And that is, there are two scenes in the scriptures of Jesus in a storm on the sea. The one is the storm on the sea in which Jesus was on the shore and his disciples got in trouble in a big storm. And Jesus came out to them walking on the water. And they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. Here he comes walking on the water. You know that story. And Peter looks at him and says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out and walk on the water with you. Oh, and so he did. Lord said, okay, come on out. And he climbs out of the... Now, you really have to understand the story. This was not a stable boat. This was a storm that was so bad, the disciples who were fishermen thought that they were going to die. I mean, it's rocking, it's reeling, it's rolling, and the waves are just all over the place. And he steps out of the boat and he walks on water. Don't criticize Peter. He walked on water for a moment or two. And that's more than I've ever done. I've never walked on water for a moment. And Jesus looked at him, and Peter looked at the wind of the sea, and he got scared, and he started to sink. And Jesus reached out that helping hand, that rescuing hand, and pulled him up and said, oh, you have little faith. Why didn't you keep your eyes on me? It's the problem of most of us. We get our eyes on the storm. We do everything we can to bail our boat. And we forget we have a Savior who says, I am your helper. Call upon me when you have a need. The second scene is similar to that, but this time Jesus is in the boat traveling with them. A storm comes on the sea, and Jesus is in the bow of the boat. I love it because Scripture records that he had his head on a pillow and he was sound asleep. Now imagine that. A stormy sea rocking and really waves come over the boat. Jesus is in the bow of the boat. He's got his head on a pillow and he's sound asleep. And the disciples who were fishermen got scared. And they finally got bold enough to come up to Jesus. They shook him awake and said, Lord, listen to this. They did not ask for help. And he said, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? Now, the rightful thing to do if you know the Lord is your helper is to call on him and say, help! Lord, I'm calling on you. You're my helper. Deliver me. Save me. Calm the water. Do whatever you do, but I need you, Lord. The disciples decided to make an accusation. And so do we. The storm comes, the trial, the sickness, the problem in your life, and it seems like it's going to inundate your boat and sink you. And often Christians are heard to say, Lord, where are you? Why did you abandon me? Why did you leave me? How come I'm here all alone in the boat and you don't care about me? Must have hurt Jesus deeply for his disciples to say that. I'm so glad the helper got up, put the pillow aside and said, oh, you have little faith. He probably said more than that. I like to think of him saying, guys, I'm in the boat. Hello. It's not going down. I'm here. But I've been waiting for you to call on me. And I think that because it is impossible, almost in my mind, it's impossible for Jesus to be really sleeping deeply in a boat that's tossing with the waves and his pillow soaked and he's soaking wet and not knowing about the storm. I picture Jesus knowing exactly about that storm, but he's praying for his disciples and he's waiting for them to call on the Lord. And they're not doing it. And then they come up and they accuse him. I'm not caring. So glad he's forgiving and understanding it. He stood up and he rebuked the sea and the wind. Did you hear me? He rebuked the wind and the sea. He rebuked the problem. And immediately there was a total calm on the sea. So many of us often in our trials forget that the Lord is our helper. He is in the boat with us. He has not left us. He has not abandoned us. He is not letting us go through this alone. The Lord is our helper, but he waits for us to call upon him. There's a wonderful poem, I guess you would call it, that has been written many years ago by an unknown author. It's called Footsteps. And since it's an unknown author, I think I'll put my name in there and start it on the internet that I wrote it. But it's very good. It's very good. And I wanted to give you a picture of that because it reflects the attitude of our hearts toward our helper. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. And when the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." What a powerful truth. What a vision of the Lord as our helper, who in our times of trouble, He is not called alongside just to assist us and give us a crutch. He puts us on His shoulders. He carries us through the storm. He is our rescuer. David, the great psalmist, had much to say about the Lord as his helper. He experienced the Lord as his helper. David was a great man of God, but he was also a man of great emotions, ups and downs, and a man of great passion, who sinned against the Lord and failed the Lord many times. But he never ceased to confess that the Lord was his helper. Let me point you to a couple of those passages. Psalm 121 expresses the Lord and the help that he gives. The Lord is my helper. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Stop right there. The picture is people in Jerusalem looking on the walls, looking for help to come from one of the hills surrounding Jerusalem. And that's often the way it was in their battles. They were under siege. They were in trouble. And they waited for their help to come from the hills, that the cavalry would come over the hill and come riding to the rescue. David reflects on that and he says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." I love that. He takes it first in the first person. The Lord is my helper. And then he expands it to everybody else that knows the Lord as their Savior. He is your helper. These are promises we need to hang on to. He watches over you. He shades you. He keeps you from all harm. He watches out your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. The Lord is my helper. Second one I've chosen is from Psalm 115. It reflects the help that the Lord gives David in the time of trouble. And again, it's applied to our hearts as well. Psalm 115, verses 9 to 13. The affirmation is, "He will help us. O Israel, trust the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." Then the second part of it, he affirms God's blessings on us. "The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." There are too many passages to give all of those passages to you concerning the help that David found in the Lord. But let me refer to a few. And if you're a good note taker, you can write these down because they're not on the PowerPoint. Are you ready? Get ready to rumble. Psalm 3:2, his accusers, his enemies said, there is no help for him in God. But David said, there is. Psalm 27:9, Psalm 40, verse 17, Psalm 63, verse 7, Psalm 70, verse 5, Psalm 71, verse 12, and Psalm 94, verse 17, and many more that reflect the help that the Lord gives those who trust Him and those who call on Him. Someone will say this morning, okay, I'll give you that much. The Lord is our helper. David saw it. Jesus emphasized it. Okay, He's our helper. But in what way does He help us? Let me give you a couple of ways that the Lord helps us. Next slide, please. The Lord is the Lord who rescues us. The way in which He helps us is always in response to our cry. He is the life preserver. He is the one that stands ready at any moment to bring deliverance and help and pull us out of the trouble that we're in. The key ingredient is that we need to call on the Lord. We need to cry out to God. Remember Jesus in the boat? He waited for them to cry out, rescue me. I need your help. Here's how the Lord will help us. Let me show it to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord wants to help us not only in one or two things, but in our whole being. Every problem, every difficulty we have, He calls it body, soul, and spirit. Now, let me tell you one of my pet peeves. For almost 38 years, I've now preached and led prayer meetings, and I find in every place I've been in, the number one prayer request, bar no place where I've ever been, it's always the same. The number one Western culture prayer request is for the body, for healing, for my physical needs. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe in the Lord, my helper, my deliverer, my healer. Absolutely, I believe He's my healer. I have experienced it many times. But the problem is when we get focused on only that, we're limiting His help to that which is in the body. And He says, I want your whole spirit and soul and body to be preserved blameless to the Lord. God's concerned about everything that's in your life, not just your body. So let's stop being obsessed by the body and be obsessed by our spirit and our minds and our emotions and all of the things we're going through. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Emphasizing that same idea, God is concerned about the whole man, every part of you, not just your physical needs and your diseases. That is significant. We need to trust the Lord for all of our body, all of our mind, all of our needs. Let me challenge you this morning. Perhaps your body is racked with pain or disease. Perhaps your mind is in torment of worry and fear and anxiety. Or perhaps your emotions are in turmoil and your nerves are shot and you don't feel like you can go on. Perhaps your marriage is failing or falling apart and you can't fix it. Perhaps you've been on a job and now things are getting desperate. Perhaps you have a temptation that keeps assaulting your soul and it won't go away. Or maybe you have an addiction that's gripping you and you can't break free. All of these things, the Lord said, I am your helper. Call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. As we conclude this message, I want to challenge you to cry out to the Lord for help. Whoever you are, whatever that problem, whatever that difficulty in your life, if it's your spirit and your emotions, you've got trouble with a wounded spirit or emotions that are out of control. It could even be anger that you're wrestling with. Or it could be your soul. You've got temptations and addictions that are afflicting you. Or your body is sick and broken and diseased and you need the Lord's touch. Or your marriage there's lost love and a lack of peace, or finances, a lost supply, God will help when you call upon Him. He promises to do so. In James chapter 4, James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, says this, "You have not because you ask not." I believe often in the church today, we go through continuing sickness, afflictions of mind and spirit, conflicts in marriage and family, and trouble at work because we never ask the Lord for help. I don't mean just, "Jesus, help me. Could you assist me today?" He's not our assistant. He is our helper. And we need to get desperate about our situation to call upon Him, to cry out to Him, "Help me." Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 24, "Ask that your joy may be full." As I travel to minister to congregations and do prayer events together with other people, one of the foremost things that I find in the body of Christ is that people have lost their joy. It's not fun to be a Christian anymore. They're overwhelmed with the torments in their minds. Their emotions are out of order. They've lost that joy of their salvation, and they need to cry out to God, "Oh God, help me. I need You. I've been there. I know what that's like." I tell people, I've been lower than a worm's navel. That's pretty low. When you get down in the dumps and you're so discouraged that you can't even look up, it is the time to look up and see the Lord as your helper. He is waiting for you to cry and say, "Lord, help me, because I can't help myself." You said you help those who trust You, those that call upon You. Then I want to call on You. Lastly, in our scriptures this morning, verse 10 of chapter 13 echoes that God has provided for us an altar. An altar where we might come and find the Lord's help. It's referring to the Old Testament covenant and the tabernacle where people would go. And He's contrasting that to believers. And He said, we have an altar they don't have. He's talking about the communion table. He said, we have privileges that those who serve the Old Testament and those that are in the world never have. We can come to the Lord. Hebrews 4:16. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. But we must come. We must come. I want to challenge you this morning as we serve communion that this is the table of the Lord. And this place up here is called an altar. It's a place to meet the Lord. It's a place to cry out to Him and find victory and help in the time of need. And God wants to do that in your life, but He waits for you to call. And He wants to answer. As we serve communion this morning, we're going to have elders and prayer leaders up here to pray with you. We encourage you not only to fill out the card and give it to us later, but if the Lord prompts your heart to come and to cry out together with us to the Lord, do so. Don't miss the opportunity to call on the Lord as your helper. And those of you that are going to pray, elders that are going to pray, pastors that are going to pray, it's a simple prayer, two or three sentences, not a long, drawn-out thing. Because we are not their helper. Listen to me again. We, pastors, elders, are not your helpers. We're your assistants. We're the assistants of the helper. And all we do is agree together before the throne for you. If any two of you on earth agree as touching any one thing, you shall ask and it shall be done. I don't need elders to do this. I don't need pastors to do this. We just need other believers to stand with you in prayer and you to cry out and say, "Help me." And so we're going to encourage you to come and just give us one word. We don't need, this is not counseling. Don't come and tell me the sad story of whatever. Just come and say, I need the Lord to touch my spirit. I need the Lord to touch my body. I need the Lord to touch my soul or my mind or my marriage or my finances. Just one word. This is what it is. And we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. If you have a physical need and want to be anointed and prayed for, that needs to take place tonight because we just won't have time in the communion service. So please come back tonight for anointing and prayer for the elders as we pray. Do I have time for a story? We do, whether you like it or not. I spend a lot of time preparing for messages, and that doesn't mean just studying, but poring over it, praying over it, bathing it in prayer. I had a wonderful experience this week with a brother in Christ from our church who was hospitalized with a terrible, terrible infection. The diagnosis from the doctor was horrible. The end result of this thing could be life-changing and devastating. But he had one of those horrible staph infections in his body and a surgery that he had. And now the threat was they're going to have to go in and scrape that and take that out and perhaps even take the supports out of his back. Well, I was concerned about it. I went to visit the brother and I listened to him for an hour, pour out his heart. I was so delighted to hear that. As he sat with me and we shared and he cried out and shared his own doubts and his own fears. You know, that's important. God doesn't despise you for doing that. God loves you for doing that. David did it all the time. Poured out his heart to the Lord. And for about an hour, we just shared together. And that brother is precious to me because of the trial he's going through. And because of the doubts that were battling against his mind. And as he was sharing those things, I'm sitting there, pastor, and thinking, well, how can I help him? How can I help him? How can I help him? And the Lord spoke very clearly and says, you are not the helper. I am. Direct him to me. Wow. That was a lesson for me. I am not the healer. I'm the assistant. I just take you to the healer. And together we touch the hem of his garment. Well, as we shared together, the Lord gave me a word for him, and I shared three things that I wanted him to see in his situation. I'll pass those along to you, and if it's helpful, great. If it's not, throw it out. And the first thing was, faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. If you don't have it, be honest with the Lord and say, I don't have it. Don't come to an altar and ask for healing if you don't believe. God hasn't given you the faith to believe that God's going to work. Be honest to God. A man brought his son. His son was having fits and then falling in the fire. He was suicidal. And he came to the disciples. They couldn't heal him. And he finally came to Jesus and said, Lord, help. I don't know what to do. And Jesus said, if you believe. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Cried out to God. Faith is a gift. When you cry out to God for it, God will give it to you. The second thing in that situation of health is to know that the presence of the Lord brings healing. Jesus wants to be present in your life in His full glory. He wants to be present, and His presence brings healing. We see that in the New Testament where the power of the Lord is present to heal in some places, but in Nazareth it was not there. Pray for the Lord's presence in your life. And the third thing I encouraged him in is to speak to the disease. Speak to the disease. Too often, I don't do that. Too often, we don't do that. But the Lord Jesus said, if you speak to a mountain and tell it to be removed and believe, it will be done for you. He didn't say, pray that the mountain would be removed. He said, speak to the mountain. And so we encouraged him to do that. And then we prayed together. He and his wife and son came and laid hands on them and prayed for them. The next day, the elders came and anointed and prayed for him. And there was a test that was to come in to prove where this infection was. And I love what the wife did. She challenged the doctor and said, Doctor, if there is no infection, if what you do proves there's no infection, will you believe God did a miracle? I love trapping doctors. No offense, Tim. I love trapping doctors into saying God's going to do something. And so he said, okay, yeah, I'll give you that. You know, the test came back the next day. There was not one speck of infection in his body. Give the Lord glory. Oh, yeah, the doctor still wants to do the antibiotics and everything else because he doesn't believe. But we believe God has brought healing to his body. Now, did I do that? No, I did not do that. I didn't have anything to do with it other than being there and the Lord rebuking me and saying, you're not the helper. Yeah, that humbles you. I'm not the helper. I'm just the assistant. And the people up here today are not your helpers. They're your assistants to agree together as touching that one thing that's a burden on your heart and pray and ask the Lord to do it. As the communion stewards prepare themselves, we want to serve communion. First of all, the bread. which represents the Lord's body. And he said, that body is broken for you. In another place in Corinthians, it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave everything for us to save us. It's a small thing that he gives us the other things as helper to help us with our needs. As the communion stewards come to serve that bread, after you've received your bread, I want to encourage you to come to the altar to just stand with us as we pray with you. We are not the healers, but you're reaching out to the healer in your own life and asking God to do that. Pastor Paul, Pastor Paul's come, and elders that are free and not doing something else, if you'll come and just stand with us. Pastor Mark, if you're here, come and stand with us. And just separate. You come to any one of us. If you don't like Pastor Paul, go to the other Pastor Paul. If you don't like Pastor Dick, that's fine. Go to Pastor Mark. I don't care because we're not the healer. The Lord is the healer. And he is the one listening. And you just come and you speak one word, what your problem is, what you want God to do. It's your body, it's your health, it's your mind, it's your emotions, it's your family, it's your finances. It could be a myriad of things. Or temptation. Lay it before the Lord. We are here to pray with you. And we'll pray briefly, just a sentence or two, and trust the Lord to do his work. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross, to give his life for us. You gave your very best. Now everything else is so much less than that. It is a perk that comes through trusting in Jesus. We pray this morning as we open the table of the Lord and come to the altar to take the privilege of laying it out before God and believing you to be our helper, that you would help. We ask you to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion stewards, come and serve the bread. And as we're doing that, we're going to be playing a song. That's what this altar is for. The words are on the overhead for you to see it. May the Lord bless you as you partake together.
Just as I am without one plea, the death thy blood was shed for me, and death thou bidst me come to Father kneels beside them
giving up a part of him that he's held back for you. Hearts are being broken, lives are being changed. Those who call upon him, they will never be the same. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. He is waiting here for you. Go quickly now before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to care. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. And Jesus is waiting. He is waiting here for you. Go quickly now before they close the door. You can give your burdens to the Lord. That's what this altar is for.
Just altar is for.
giving up a part of Him that He's held back for you. Hearts are being broken, lives are being changed. Those who call upon Him, they will never.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have one who is our Savior and our Lord and our Helper. O Helper of Israel, O Shade upon our right hand, O Deliverer and Rescuer, rescue us today from those things that bind us and block us and hinder us and take away the joy of the Lord. Lord Jesus, come in your fullness now as we take this bread, your body. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. After the same manner also Jesus took the cup. He said, I want all of you to take it. Passed it around the room to each of his disciples, and he said, this is the blood of the covenant. This is what makes you whole. This is what makes you a child of God. Today, as we pass that cup to you, remember that Jesus has given his blood to forgive you all your trespasses. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it. Jesus' blood can cleanse you and make you whole. Call upon Him. He is the helper and the healer of our hearts. May the Lord bless you as you worship the Lord and receive this cup of the covenant in Jesus' name. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious blood of Jesus. Nothing else could take away our sin. No scrubbing and self-sacrifice can take away our guilt. But only this precious blood. We thank you today as we hold in our hands the sign of the covenant that we belong to you, that we are washed and made whole in the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that as we partake this together now, that you would cleanse us afresh and anew from all the things we have done and all the thoughts we had, all the attitudes that are awry, all the things, Lord, that we have not done that you've commanded us to do. Forgive us and wash us and make us whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. And all God's people said, amen. I have a particular burden for families today, for marriages. As I go away on my prayer assignment, I would encourage you, if you're struggling in your marriage, to not be ashamed to write it down. I don't share that with anybody else. My wife will be with me on this retreat. I will share those requests with her, but she's a woman of confidence. We will keep this before God and at the altar. But you need others to bear that with you. We're happy to do that. The card that you filled out, you may drop off here in the front with me or any one of the ushers or one of the elders, or drop it by the office. If you don't do that by 3 o'clock today, I won't have it. If you forget to drop it and you have an email, send it to me before 3. That means 1 minute after 3, I'm gone. And the Lord will hear your cry, but I won't be able to share that with you. So do that. The Lord bless you. Let's stand together as we sing Amazing Grace. We want that to be cheerful and victorious in Jesus. Let's sing together. People said again, amen, and praise the Lord. There is a concert of prayer here in the sanctuary tonight. The elders will be here for anointing and prayer for the sick. We encourage you to come at that time. If you cannot come and need to be anointed and prayed for, you may call the office. Let us know, and we will make sure that the elders know, and they will come and anoint you and pray for you. Would you bow your heads with me as we close? Lord Jesus, we leave this place knowing that you have been here, and you have heard our cry. Father, I pray that you would do mighty works, that you would move mountains, that you would restore marriages, that you would heal lives and restore emotions that are just totally blown away. Lord, you're the healer. You're the helper. And we love you today. Go with us now. Give us the joy of the Lord as our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.